Yeah, and in principle, it is a great idea and a very welcome idea. The idea of having free primary care access for people is a very good one. It does come with problems, and the problem that I suppose I found most with it is there is this problem for people who don't have a medical card, and they also don't have health insurance, but they're also not having a lot of money to pay for expensive tests. And I think that this will help those people be able to come and see us for, you know, it is expensive, we acknowledge that, to see ourselves sometimes if you need repeated visits. So it does open that up for people, and that is good. We can come back to what pressure that might put on surgeries. But I think the main problem is when we have done what we can, or the problems are not what we can deal with, the onward referral, there's huge problems with that. And increasingly we are just seeing that there's nearly no point. Like, I ask people, that's part of the letter I'd written to the Times, do you have any health insurance? I hate having to ask that question, but it nearly is. It's kind of essential at this point.
Because it's an indictment on the public health system, really, having to ask the question so frequently.
Yeah, and it is just because there's no point in me sitting with somebody ahead of me and saying, yeah, you need to see, you know, for example, an ENT or an orthopaedic, you know, specialist for that. That's great, I'll refer you, see you later. And I know full well that list could be 4 years. That's not good on my, how can I sort of think that that's my job done? It's not, you know, and we need to try and address this.
Also too, I presume then you would find yourself being requested to or offering to write letters, but I just wonder what impact they have. Every GP in the country sending letters to consultants, and there's only so many ways you can sort of try and impress on them the importance of a patient being seen, isn't there, really? I'm not sure how effective they are at all now at this point.
Yeah, like, and sometimes it's just more letters to read and more things to get back it up. Now, in fairness, like, a lot of the work we do, and increasingly, like, I'm sure my colleagues would agree with this, spend a lot of time on the phone trying to impress, you know, to make a follow-up phone call about something you're a wee bit concerned about or that really needs dealing with. And in a lot of cases, there will be a lot of goodwill returned to you from, the tertiary care to try and, you know, pick people out of this waiting list who really need it. So there's a lot of that goes on. But that's very time-consuming when you could be seeing more people. There's a huge amount of time involved in that. And also, people in tertiary care, and, you know, for example, the hospital, our colleagues there in Letterkenny in the emergency department, they're operating under very, very intense conditions. Like, and, you know, you can have nothing but respect for them, but it's an extremely difficult job to do.
Yes, and when you refer to someone, to use the example of ENT, and we talk of four-year waiting lists, I mean, is it really a waiting list? Is it not just sort of an abyss to sort of keep people, what I'm on about? Like, is it really, in four years I'm going to be seen? We refer to these as wait lists, but are they? It's almost like just a black hole that maybe those in greatest need get plucked out of.
And I often would say, listen, my own personally, I might say to people that it's not really a function service at stage, and that's why I don't feel my job is done there anymore. And that is where the problem is. And I think if we met a fee, kind of more access to us, as it's good. But it's the problems are much bigger, and I think I would have preferred to see, for example, money spent on other things. Another big thing, there are people with musculoskeletal, maybe joint pain, waiting to see, maybe waiting on joints replaced. But if they had better access to physio, we do have some physios, but again, they're under a lot of pressure. The lists are very long, but having some more access, those type of things that people could do even in the meantime, just investing in the service. There's no point in having loads of people have access to a service, but the service isn't.
You also, also in your letter, you talked about various referrals. Someone comes into you with breathlessness. Now, we would never discourage anyone, of course, from going to the GP, but only this week we were, last Sunday, I believe it was Lung Health Day. In the lead up to that, we spoke to some specialists and they were saying, your breathlessness, don't put it down to something else, go and get it checked. Sure. If someone comes to you to do that, right, and you go, right, okay, there's something here beyond what I can do in this building, and you refer them, it's routinely, is it that they could face a 2-year wait for a stress test?
Yeah, Yeah, those kind of weights are kind of the norm. Now, we manage around it, and that's obviously the benefit to coming to us, is that we, like, our skill set is in determining what's what in terms of this huge amount of symptoms that people have when they present kind of to us. But you can pick out who really needs kind of what. But the problem is, the person who needs something done quite soon, but not today, not needing to go over to Letterkenny and clog up the, you know, the emergency department there. But again, you know, like, I don't want you to wait with maybe, you know, something that could be a heart attack in a couple of months' time, but we could have avoided that if you were able to access these tests. That's the big problem. Now, what often you end up doing, depending on what you feel the level of risk is that you might have to say to someone, I'm really sorry, but there is no better way for me to do this. And I'm also sorry to my colleagues in the emergency department, but to get the care, you need to go in there. At least we know there's nothing very urgent, and that you might be able to be then put a little bit fast-tracked onto that list. But me just referring them routinely, no, no, I'd be as well not to. Like, that's, I would feel that there's not much kind of service available there. What? And those, and similarly for hips and things, that would be another one. I could see someone sore hip. The x-ray is done. That's a part that works well for us here in this kind of part of the country. Get a quick enough x-ray. Bad away, bad pain, you know, bad osteoarthritis needs to be seen. I know that now, but the person needs to wait maybe nearly the best part maybe of 2 years to see a, you know, an orthopaedic colleague.
Well, I would know quite, I know quite a few people who've had hip replacements and none of them have done it publicly. It's either been private or using some of the cross-border initiatives. Yeah. I don't, you know.
And they're a poor substitute, I think, for, you know, they're a substitute and they obviously have a place, but it can't be at the expense of properly resourcing and working on our own public health system here.
Well, what does it do to the morale then of someone like yourself, Maria, in the business of trying to look after your people? It's a personal thing because you're in the community and it's people of the community, but, you know, every day having to relate this, that it becomes sort of almost like a joke, albeit not funny, about having to ask about private insurance. Like, what does it do to someone like, you know, you, when you probably feel you can do as much as you can, but you're part of a system that is failing people. So it must take it out of you, is really what I'm asking.
Yeah. I know, like, it is, and it can be quite emotionally exhausting to be here, you know, sometimes on certain days, and there is a lot of this type of stuff going on, and you're doing your best to kind of keep people a bit buoyed up, but, you know, a bit positive about that. We can get a lot of it off our chest in the kitchen, having a cup of tea. My colleague here is also my husband, Owen. We have a fair few heated discussions about all this ourselves. We do what we can. Sometimes then you might get very worked up about it, write a little letter to the Times. You feel a bit helpless, but I suppose increasingly we feel we do need to really take on our role as advocates for our patients as well and be heard, because I do think that particularly as GPs, we're well placed. I've worked in a lot of hospitals before, you know, I've become a GP. You get a lot of experience and you know how things work. You know, I've worked in the emergency department in Letterkenny. Short stint, don't know how helpful I was, but I've been there, I see the pressure of it, I know what I'm sending people to, worked in the various, you know, different specialties there, and I remember thinking, especially there at Letterkenny, our local hospital, a great place full of really brilliant people, the level of pressure too, and just the enormity of the tasks at hand.
Well, we heard from Dr. Ken Mulpeter recently. We heard from Dr. Ken Mulpeter recently on this programme, and he says, you know, he didn't paint a very pretty picture, despite all the best efforts, that people end up being treated like numbers because the system is only allowing that. From your perspective and your experience, Maria, what is the solution here? Is it more consultants? Is it more money? Is it more theatre time? You know, I mean, or is it a basket case? Like, what if you could do one thing from your experience that you think could maybe loosen this bottleneck, what might it be?
I think for us, for me in my now current position as a GP, it's better access to the likes of even just allied health and imaging for us, because we can do a lot of stuff. We're limited sometimes, and like sometimes people take a somewhat dim view of what we can do or not, but a lot of the time we're limited because the type of medicine we practice now, we need tests, we need further investigations. It's not always just good enough to just hear the story and not say it could be this. We need more confirmation, better access to diagnostics for us, I think, would be would be a very good and helpful thing. And for routine enough things, like, for example, stress tests, get the kind of the groundwork done, then see a specialist, everything's done, what that type of thing.
Maria, in the last minute...
I don't have all the answers.
I understand that.
I definitely don't.
But in the last minute, Maria, is the picture any better in referring people to mental health services?
That's a very difficult area again, and I think it's there's no point in me saying much other than I think there's a lot of lacking of services there, and we would find ourselves doing as much as we can to support people ourselves, and you know, but when it goes a bit beyond that, again, waiting times are long, and access to, just for example, counselling and stuff, people might wait weeks, months usually, and it's very thin on the ground, and we hear a lot from others about that, and yes, I can't paint a very pretty picture of that either, I'm afraid.
Okay, Dr. Maria Moy, GP in Mount Charles, thank you very much for your time this morning, I appreciate it greatly.
Thanks for having me.
All take right, care, bye-bye. All right, thank you. And just as it relates to...